We'll send out the Roots kids in just a moment. Let's read the text first for today, and then I'll dismiss the Roots kids. If you've been with us all summer long, we've been in the book of Genesis. We started at the very beginning. We talked about creation. We moved to the calling of Abraham. We talked about Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, and now Joseph. And today is our last in our series of Genesis. And I am so thankful and grateful that our brother DeAndre will preach for us today. I know that DeAndre has a lot of friends and family. Thank you for joining us today. What a gift. The words are not going to be up in the slide, but if you'd like to follow along, this will be Genesis chapter 45. Otherwise, I pray that you open your ears and your heart, and let's hear the word of God. Then Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, "Out, all of you." So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please come closer," he told them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery to Egypt. But don't be upset, and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and tell him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. So come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, where you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you, your household, and all your animals will starve.' Then Joseph added, 'Look, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honored position here in Egypt. Describe for him everything you have seen, and then bring my father here quickly.' Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin did the same. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them. And after that, they begin talking freely with him." This is the word of God. All right, Roots kids, you can head to your class over in this corner. This is for children ages 3 up through 3rd grade.
Not you? Okay. Good morning, church. Before I get started, I want to say a prayer first. So will you bow your heads and pray with me? Dear God, thank you for putting me in this position today, this morning. Thank you for the passages that I'm here to speak on today. I pray that as the words come out there, you speak the words and let them come through me. And give me a good form of structure for the sermon this morning. And I pray that I not only give, but receive a message as well. In your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, before we get to the passage that Mr. Steve just read, I want to talk about what happened Lee to get him to that point of where he's at right now. So I'm going to go back and just kind of retell the whole, not the whole story, but the most important parts. So Joseph, son of Jacob, he was 17, just like I am right now. And he was loved more by his father than his brothers, as you can obviously tell, because he was special in a way that I don't think he understood or his family understood either. And so his brothers were very jealous at the fact that he was having these dreams and that Jacob was giving him a lot more attention. And then he came and made a coat for him, and he hadn't gave the other brothers anything. So I'm sure that would make me jealous if my brothers and sisters got something and I didn't get anything. You know, I'd be like, I'm your son too, so why you don't give me nothing? And so he had dreams that his brothers, sheep and everything, were bowing down to him. And so they got mad and like, we older than you, but you telling us that we gonna bow down to you, our younger brother. And so he went off, and then he had another dream that this time his whole family, even his parents, would be bowing down to him. So this time his father, Jacob, even got a little upset saying, so now you're telling me I'm going to bow down to you and I'm your father. You know, I made you. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here. And so, you know, still, he just went on with his life. And so he went to go find his brothers, and they were seeing him in the distance saying, here comes that dream of you guys. Let's go ahead and kill him and be done with it. But Reuben, the older brother, was like, let's not even get our hands dirty with that, you know. He's still our brother, so we're not going to kill him. Let's just throw him in a cistern and leave him there to die by natural cause. And that way, we didn't kill him and we didn't touch him. He just died. But then they saw the Midianites coming in the distance. So then Judah, one of the brothers as well, decided, let's just sell him into slavery for silver and stuff. And then now it's even better because he's still alive and we get money and we don't have to deal with him anymore. And so they sold him, and so they ripped up his coat, dipped it in blood after they saw that the goats and stuff. And then they took it to Jacob and was like, do you recognize this? And he was like, surely this is my son's coat. Like, he's dead now. So he wept for a few days, and they were done with him. But while Joseph was being transferred, he got transferred to Potiphar's house. And there, they saw how good he was and how devoted of a worker he was. So Potiphar put him in control of everything that went on around the house, everything that he was in charge of everything except for his wife. But his wife was attracted to Joseph, and she wanted to sleep with him, but he said no. Like, he put me in charge. How can I come and do something like that to him? He gave me possession of everything except for you. So we just going to leave that alone. But she was persistent, and she approached him several times with the topic, but he just was dismissive each time. So finally, she approached him, and she, like, grabbed him. But he pulled away and ran out as fast as he could, but he left behind some of his clothing. So now she's upset, and she's like, You're not gonna sleep with me, so now you're gonna see the consequence behind that. So she lied on him and said that he was trying to rape her, and he got through in jail. And so there he met two people, the cupbearer and a baker. So they were having these crazy dreams that they didn't know how to interpret. And here he comes and he can interpret them. So the baker was told, you're gonna die here in prison. There's nothing we can do. But the cupbearer was told, in 3 days, you're going to be out of here and back to the top where you were. And all he asked from the cupbearer was, when you get out, mention my name so I can get out too. But the cupbearer didn't do that. He forgot. And so, for 2 more years, Joseph sat in jail alone by himself. But then, Pharaoh starts having these dreams. And for those of you who don't know, Pharaoh is the king of the whole land of Egypt. Nobody is higher than him where he says goes. And so now he's having these dreams, and he had some of the oddest dreams you could think of. He had a dream about 7 cows that were healthy, that were nice, that were good enough to eat and everything. And so then he had it. Then there were seven more cows that were grunt and skinny with no meat at all and nothing you can get from them. But what made it even more odd was because they swallowed the healthy cows. And then he woke up like, this is bizarre. Like, what kind of dream is this? So he goes back to sleep, and then he has another dream about seven heads of grain that sprouted up good. They were nice and green and everything. And so then he had seven more came up that were bad, like dead, was not looking good at all. And then they swallowed the good ones. So by morning, he's troubled. He's like, this is not normal dreams for people to have. Like, this is beyond a nightmare. And so he summoned all the magicians and everybody that could possibly interpret the dream for him, but nobody could. Nobody could tell him at all what these dreams meant. So now he's like, so now what am I supposed to do? But the cupbearer was reminded, and he said, his words were, I'm reminded of my shortcomings. And he told Pharaoh about Joseph. So immediately Joseph was brought to Pharaoh. And he interpreted the dreams for Pharaoh, and he was told, for 7 years, you're going to be all set. You're going to have food, water, everything you need to go on. But then 7 years are going to come where you're not going to have any of that. You're going to have nothing, and people are going to start dying. So he put Joseph in charge of everything, managing the food and keeping everything good. And the Bible says he was second in command of Egypt. So now Joseph has his power back after everything that went on before that. And so we jump back to Jacob and his brothers. They starving. They don't have any food. The famine is here. They don't have anything. And so Jacob says, I hear there's food in Egypt. Go ahead and go and get some and bring it back to us. But they left Benjamin behind with Jacob. So they get to Egypt. And there, Joseph is waiting for them, but they don't have any idea. So he sees them, and all he can do is leave and go and start crying, like, because this is his brothers. He like, am I gonna get revenge on them for what they did to me, or am I gonna get them what they need to go on? So after that, he came back, and he asked them where was their little brother. And where was their father and everything? And so he said, go back, go get your little brother and come back and I'm going to give you what you need. So they left. They went, but Jacob did not want Benjamin to go. He was like, last time I sent one of my younger sons, they didn't come back. I'm not sending Benjamin because he's not going to die like Joseph did. No. But eventually they kept on asking, and he finally let up and said, okay, take him, but you better keep him safe. And so they took him, and when they got back, Joseph invited them in, still playing a complete stranger. He invited them in, ate with them, talked a little bit. And so then he said, where's your father? And he told them, go back and get your father and then come back. And then you're going to get everything. I'm going to give you all the food you need. So as they were leaving, he had one of his guards put his cup in Benjamin's sack. And so they left. And then the guards came back to get them. And they were like, stop. And so the brothers are probably like, what did we do? Scared and everything. And he like, he stole something from us. And Benjamin's like, I didn't steal anything, because he didn't even know. And so then when they found it, he was like, they all looking at him like, what are you thinking, Benjamin? And he like, I didn't do it. Like, and so they get brought back to Egypt, to Joseph's house. And so when they get there, they still like, scared that Benjamin's going to go to jail or something. And they like, you can't arrest him. You can't take us anywhere. What are we going to tell our father and everything? And so then that brings us to the passage that Mrs. Steve just read for us, where he finally sends out all of the guards, everybody, and he lets his brothers know who he is. He tells them, I'm Joseph, the brother that you sold. And so now, as normal people, they probably like scared, like, you, Joseph, like, this is you with all the power in front of us. Like, what are we going to expect now? Like, are you going to like have us killed or threw in jail because of what we did? But he's not thinking about that at all. He like, come here, like, you my brothers, come on, let's talk, let's get to catch up on our lost time. But they still in shock. So he like, don't be in distress, because you didn't sent me here. God sent me here to save people. He just used you to put me in place, you know. And so they still like kind of shocked, and he just starts crying, and then he sees Benjamin. And so he gets Benjamin and just like has a moment right there, kind of like when Jacob returned and Esau was waiting to embrace him after everything that they went through. And so he just embraces his brothers, and he's like, you don't have a reason to be worried. You don't have to be scared, because this was all meant to happen for me to get sent into slavery to save people for the God. You know, God led me here, not you. And so he just like embraces them. He cries over them, kisses them. And then it says at the end that they talked like freely. It wasn't nothing. They just talked. So now that I got everybody all caught up, that's a crazy story, right? You know? You know? It's like a roller coaster of things that went on in Joseph's life, you know? He was good, being loved by his father. He got a nice coat. Then he got sold. From there, he got to Potiphar's house. And he was in command. He had power. He was in charge of everything. Then he got lied on. And then he was thrown in jail. And down there, he interpreted dreams. He was still doing God's work in jail. But then he got forgot about, and he sat in jail for 2 more years. And now he's finally back out in Pharaoh's house doing everything, and he's good. He's back in control. He got all his power back. It's no problem. Then he reunites with his brothers, you know. So now he has a choice to make, you know. What am I going to do? Like, do I want to choose to throw out all the good that I did and focus on the bad that they did to me, and use my power and authority to have them put away so I don't have to see them anymore? Or am I going to do what God wants me to do and save them and give them food that they need? And which is what he does, you know. He had them put in the best, finest part of Egypt, Goshen, I believe it's called. That's like the best part of the land. So he said, come get everybody and you're going to be set. So that's the story. And now I have two topics to talk about. The first one I call the hidden ways of God. Because throughout this whole story, they're there. That's why they're called hidden, because we can't see them. But just think about it. Now, we all go through hard times in life, but if you get thrown in jail for something you didn't do, the last thing you're going to want to hear is me coming up to you and saying, God put you here for a reason, so just be okay with it. But it's a way that you can say that differently, because we're not going to blame God for you being put in prison, because the devil has just as much power as God does. He works just as much as God does, and maybe more. And so we're not going to say God threw you in jail. The devil put you there, but God put you in place while you were in there. You know, God used you while you were there. He didn't let you just sit there. And so that's the way you can say that. Don't, because people are going to get upset if you say, God put you there. But no, he used you while you were there. He didn't put you there. And so even though it seemed like he was forgotten, he wasn't forgotten. He just had to stay in there a little bit longer till he was needed. That's why the cupbearer didn't immediately say, Joseph, he interpreted these dreams for me and he helped me. You know, he a good person. You need to get him out of there. No. It was meant for him to stay in there for 2 more years because God didn't need him out by then, you know. If he would have got out by then, he would have been planning for something that wasn't going to come until 2 years later. And they probably would have got sick and just started eating everything, you know. But God took him out of there when he needed it. So then he got out of there and he got to Pharaoh's house. But then he sees his brothers. So see, God took him out of there when his brothers were coming back so they can reunite, you know. And they're hidden because we don't know why he went in the room and started crying when he first saw his brothers. He could have went in there because that was his brothers. He missed them and he just didn't want them to see him crying. Or he could have went in there actually debating like what he was going to do. Like, was he going to throw them in jail or was he going to help them? And that's the most important thing that we should focus on. You know, he didn't sit there and say, oh, they they sold me, and then I got lied on. I got threw in jail and all that stuff, you know. He didn't sit there and focus on that. He said, they sold me. I was in command of a house. I helped a lot of people. I got threw in jail because somebody lied on me. I helped down there. And then by me getting through in jail, I came back up and I did even more work, which is what God put me here in the first place, you know. I saved a lot of people from starving, you know. And so that's what he focused on, and that's what we should focus on too, you know. At the end of this, I have a question like, what are we going to focus on, you know? Are we going to focus on what's bad happening to us in that moment? Or are we going to focus on how we're going to get out of that moment and still be able to keep going, you know? Because it's easy to focus on what's happening to you, like telling everybody to ask you, how you doing? Oh, my car broke down. I got to catch the bus here. My plan just got messed up because my sister needed me to watch my niece or something like that, you know? You're not going to focus on that. Just look at it the other way. Reverse it and turn it around, you know? My sister had something to do, so I watched my niece. That's me helping her out. You know, my blessing is not coming fast, but it'll be there because I did that and I sacrificed some of my time for that. So instead of always focusing on the negative for the situation, it's always positive. You just have to find it and you have to want to find it, you know. And so next is forgiveness. There's a lot of forgiveness in this story because he was sold. He forgave his brothers for selling them, you know. He could have been evil. He could, even after he helped them, he could have put them in a worse part of Egypt where there was people stabbing people and all that stuff, but he didn't. He put them in a finer part, you know. God forgiven, and he's forgiven, you know. I'm sure he forgave the cupbearer for not mentioning him right away. He forgave his brothers. He even probably forgave his dad, you know, for sending him out there. He could have been angry at him and like, if you wouldn't have sent me out there, this wouldn't have happened. I could have been at home with you and Benjamin doing something else, you know. But he forgave his brothers. He said, I forgive you, you know. It's no reason for you to be scared of me because that's old, you know. That's there. We are here now, you know. Focus on what's going on now. You're not going to focus on something that happened years ago. Like, if I see you, I'm gonna be like, you remember, you sold me, and now you coming to me. No, because he's focusing on the wrong thing. And with a mindset like that, he wouldn't have been able to focus on what God needed him to focus on. And so he chose to forgive. He chose to forgive and just let it be, you know. Focus on moving forward instead of bringing the past to the present and just being stuck there. And so now that comes back to us, you know. A lot of people do us wrong. It's just how the world goes. You know, it's humanity. So are we going to focus on every time I see you walk by because you stole something from me, I'm going to watch you walk by and just start talking negative? Because then that's not hurting them. That's hurting me. Because I'm giving up my time to focus on them walking by, and they're not going to care. They're just going to walk by and be like, look, that's that dude I stole from. He over there mad, but he not going to do nothing, you know. So you hurting yourself because all you doing is upsetting yourself for something that you don't even need to be upset about, you know. That's why you focus on letting go, you know. You don't even have to let it go. You can still remember, they stole from me, but don't hold on to that. Don't let what somebody do to you determine how you going to go on in life, because, you know, what they did to you, they not going to care. They maybe sometime later they'll be like, I'm really sorry for that. But if they do come to that, what are you going to say? Are you going to say, I'm not trying to hear that, go on somewhere because you stole from me, now you're sorry because something happened to you? No. You should focus on saying, you know what, I forgive you, it's gone, you know, I'm still here, I'm still working, I still got a good life, you know. So we just going to forget about that. It takes more energy to do that than to say, get out of my face, I don't want to hear that. It takes more energy to be the bigger person rather than stand on a level with them saying, I don't forgive you, you know, I'm not going to let that go, because then all you doing is walking around still upset and you don't have anything to be upset about. It's more stuff for people to be upset about than you just holding on to something that's not even important. Because that's what God wants us to be able to forgive, because he forgives us. Sure enough, as when we do wrong, he forgives us. Like, if we accidentally go and hurt somebody, you know, even if it's self-defense, you still gonna want God to forgive you for that, and He will, because He's a forgiving God. But that doesn't mean that He's gonna forgive you and you're not gonna forgive the next person, because everybody sins, and sometimes they need forgiveness from God, but they also need it from you. And sometimes you need to give that. That way you can move on, and God will be like, okay, I got something in that person right there, you know? Because God knows our hearts. He knows our minds, you know? It's not about what we're thinking. It's all about what we feel in our heart, because your mind is going to tell you something totally different than your heart will. So that's what He looks at. He looks at what's pure and what's inner, something that nobody else can take from you unless you let them. That's what He looks at. So I ask you, just like I'm asking myself, which person are we going to be in this story? Are you going to be the person that everybody expects Joseph to be, which is angry, full of hatred, and just mad and full of no forgiveness at all? Are you going to be the person that says, you know what, I forgive you, and I'm not going to even worry about that, I'm going to let that go? Are you going to be that person, or are you going to be the evil person? That's my question for you, and I challenge you to ask yourself that and actually think on that. You know, focus on the things that should be focused on, not stuff that doesn't matter. It's a lot going on, and you know, when God and Jesus come back, He's not gonna ask you, oh, what should I ask? Should I send that person to hell because of what he did to you? He's gonna say, how did you respond to what he did to you? That's what's important, and that's what matters. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy Father, when we come to this bread, we come and we are met with the question that DeAndre asked us. Which person will we be? And as we take this bread, and as we remember your Son, I pray that the answer to that is a Christ follower, a disciple, someone who is willing to take on his example, to take on his life, and to be willing to forgive, willing to see your hidden ways, willing to see your grace blossoming all over the place. God, we are grateful for this bread, but we are more grateful for Jesus and for what we see in this time. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, it is so good to be here today. So good to hear the message from DeAndre and the words of the songs and Mercy's prayer. We thank you so much that we have this privilege, and we thank you for showing us in your scripture what to do with this fruit of the vine. Jesus himself took the cup and broke it and prayed to give thanks, and then shared it with his disciples. He said it was his blood, and for us to remember him. So we joyfully do that at this time. Again, we thank you for Jesus. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
I grew up in a church that believed in the Holy Spirit, but we were afraid of it. Because I don't think we ever experienced it knowingly. And I just encourage you this morning to realize that you've experienced the Holy Spirit powerfully this morning. Before this service started, Steve Sargent prayed a prayer over Mercy and DeAndre and asked that the Spirit fill them and use them. And that happened. That prayer was answered. So don't be afraid. We have been blessed this morning by the Holy Spirit. Now we have an opportunity for those who came with burdens on your hearts or joys that you want to lift up to God in prayer. This is our time of intercessory prayer. There are people who volunteer. They'll be standing in the back of the room. Oh, the offering. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun.
Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you for this gathering together and your Spirit resting upon us this morning. And we thank you for giving us our daily bread. And we ask that you open our hearts and that we give joyfully as an offering to you and continue offering our lives throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
There was a time in this church where we did the offering before the sermon, so I apologize. This is the time for intercessory prayer, so let's be standing to sing two songs to afford the opportunity for those who wish to participate to have easy access.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword, oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we